As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
What up, everybody? It's the Preachers and Seekers podcast. Today's episode, we get to talk to Grammy-nominated singer, songwriter, worship leader, Chris McClarney. A lot of people asked me to get this dude on the pod after we had an awesome interaction over the Instagram stories chat feature, which got way out of hand a few weekends ago. So this is somewhat of a follow-up discussion from that, and I hope you enjoy it. I love this guy's heart. His voice is amazing. His songs are amazing. You've definitely sang, if you're in the church, you've definitely sang his songs before. So take a listen. Let me know what you think. And if you haven't already, please make sure you subscribe and review the podcast on iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. Shout out to my dude Words Played for the intro music as always. He was super generous to let me use his music. Check him out on all the social medias at WordsPlayed. If you haven't already, check us out on Patreon at patreon.com/preachersandsneakers. There you get the opportunity to support the podcast and the Instagram. And in turn, you get exclusive access to early posts, the Facebook page, as well as exclusive merch only for Preachers and Sneakers patrons. So check us out, patreon.com/preachersandsneakers. Okay, here's my conversation with Grammy-nominated singer, songwriter, worship leader, Chris McClarney. All right, well, today we're talking to Chris McClarney. McClarney, are you Irish?
Yeah, I mean, heck, I'm American, but...
Okay, yeah, that's fair. Okay. And you're a Grammy-nominated songwriter and artist.
Oh,
most
yeah.
recently for your work on Living with a Fire with Jesus Culture, right?
Yep.
But you got to attend the Grammys.
Oh, yeah.
Like the actual Grammys, not the Christian Grammys.
No, no, not the Dove Awards.
Right.
The actual Grammys.
What did they do with y'all there? Did they like siphon y'all off into like a dry... seating area and didn't sell you gin and tonics?
Yeah.
Did they? For listeners, he affirmed, yes, that they did not sell him gin and tonics at the Grammys. Was that, did everybody like, did they treat you different at all? Like being a Christian artist at the Grammys,
no,
or did they just really not care?
Knows. Like,
oh, really?
Because, I mean, you do have to do, you don't do the real awards show. You do like the junior awards show, which is next door and during the day.
So all the lights are on, they're sweeping the floors
yeah,
and stuff.
Exactly.
No, so cool. Like, wait, I put a tux on for this?
Like Questlove did the presentation for our thing. The big thing
oh, that's
about
dope.
The Grammys was Daigle. The queen of Christian music.
Yes.
In her
breaking all barriers.
Yes. Even bigger than Preachers and Sneakers, I've heard.
Well, just barely. We're coming up on her though.
she thanked me in her speech.
What?
Well, she didn't really thank me. She just said, and I love Chris McClarney.
Oh, really?
Well, so I'd go.
Did you write anything for her or like with her?
No, we're just friends. We're like, I did
Nashville
her first
homies.
Tour, the first tour she ever did, I went out and opened up for.
Okay.
So we went and hung out. We were up for the same award, and we all knew she was going to win it.
There's so, just like, yeah.
I went out and hung out with her, and I said, look, if you do the the thing where you're, when you accept your award and you're like, I want to say, you know, man, what an honor to be among all these other nominees. Don't just lump me in with Jesus Culture, which is the band I'm in. You have to say my actual name. You have to say. So she does her acceptance speech. She's like, you know, hey, I want to thank, you know, all the normal things. She walks away from the mic and then just runs back up and says, and I love Chris McClarty.
And how awesome did that make you feel at the time?
Oh, yeah, it was the best. I definitely stood up and took a bow.
And everyone's like, who the heck is this guy?
I'm the winner of the losers. Which
yes. She is so good. Like, she is Christian music's unicorn dream.
Oh, yeah. I like, thought you were going to say Christian music's Adele. But unicorn dream works, too.
Right. She should probably put that on a t-shirt. Lauren, we can talk after this about the t-shirt. Like, she has, like, her pipes are insane. And so nobody can deny it. Like, even if they find out that she's a Christian artist, it's like, who cares? This girl can rip.
Oh, yeah.
That's so, I mean, you know, tough, her, probably opening.
You know
for
who
her.
Else is a Christian artist? We're actually signed to the same label as NF. Did you know that?
Oh, yeah. And he's got bars.
Yeah.
People will send me stuff all the time. Like, hey, have you heard this guy? I'm like, yes, he's a Christian rapper. And a lot of, like, it's secular, or like people that aren't believers that will send me that. And they're always so surprised because he, like, has undeniable bars.
Oh, yeah.
Have you interacted with him much?
No. Not at
it's
all.
It's not like a brotherhood?
No, I wish it was.
Who are you with?
Capital.
Okay, yeah. I talked to them recently about, is Crowder on Capital?
Yeah.
Yeah, I talked with his crew recently about doing some kind of collab. I don't know if it's going to happen. Ooh. I still can't tell if he's pissed at me or not.
That's a little tease for your listeners.
Yeah, so be on the lookout. There may be a PNS Crowder collab coming soon.
Oh, I went and I listened to all of your podcasts because I was like, what have I gotten myself into? So,
like, you know, if I just like ambushed everybody and destroyed them publicly.
Yeah. So I listened to it and I just want to know, I tried to find it. Well, how did you get the explicit lyric content on your first one?
Like who said the explicit?
I mean, it was on in the background, but as soon as I pushed play, I was like, oh, I'm going to listen for this curse word.
I think that was the one with Justice. I think I said something like, I was talking about people that I had supported in the past financially for like missionaries. And I think I was talking about, then they would buy this big ass diamond ring.
You can't say ass.
I don't know. I mean, I checked the box to say there's a cuss word in this to make sure that I didn't blindside any of my super conservative listeners.
Well, now we just got another E.
I'm here to push the envelope. What is Christian culture anymore? We're redefining everything at this point. I was on a Bad Christian podcast a couple months ago. Have you ever listened to them?
No.
They're the guys from Emory, the band Emory. They're like, their whole shtick is that they cuss a ton and they talk about Christian stuff, and hence the name Bad Christian Podcast. And their intro has some cuss words and stuff. And my mom was so offended by me being on that, just because it was pretty raunchy. But sometimes you need it for emphasis. I think. I don't know if that's biblical or not, but sometimes you need a good curse for emphasis. Okay, so we talked about the Grammys. I was so impressed because, like, as a musician, that's like the pinnacle in a lot of ways.
Oh, yeah.
Of like, even if you're in the daytime thing, like to say like you're nominated for a Grammy, and if at some point you win a Grammy, that's probably like the biggest accomplishment ever. And then Questlove is up there nominating you. That's dope. I'm trying to get him on the pod. I've been talking with his assistant because he, did you see that he wore my hoodie?
I saw that.
At that Shaft premiere. He's been really cool about it.
I'm still waiting for my hoodie.
Oh, it's coming. Yeah, it's coming. We talked about that. I'm going to send you the new ones. The new ones are going to be a lot better because they're going to be embroidered. So the first ones were printed on, but these next ones are going to be embroidered and they're going to look really good. Okay. So back to you, Chris. So you've been doing this for a long time, singing, writing, leading worship. Yeah. Is the majority of time spent on writing at this point, or are you touring a ton?
Oh, I do a lot of tours, touring, one-offs. I mean, I'm full-time at a church too in Franklin, Tennessee. Yeah.
Which church?
Church of the City is what it's called.
Okay, I've heard of that. Who's the pastor?
Darren Whitehead.
How's his sneaker game?
It's not that great.
he's laying low.
Hopefully he doesn't hear this.
Hey, Chris, you're fired.
Hey, guys, this is Chris McClarney. I'm just looking for a job if anybody...
That's awesome. And I was surprised to, like, I got rebuked after doing one of my past podcast episodes because they said I didn't do enough research and I was being rude to my guests.
Oh,
and so
wow.
I was trying to research you before this.
Which
and
episode
I realized
was that?
I interviewed Jaron Myers, who's a comedian.
Yeah, I listened to that. Was the first one I listened to.
He's so funny. And he asked if I had listened to his podcast and I said, well, I'd listened to like half of the first episode. And people took that as me being rude. Like, I wasn't trying to be rude. I was just trying to be honest. Because people today push out a lot of content. So to ask like, hey, did you look at this one piece of content I did? Sometimes it's a little harder to do if this isn't your full-time job to like research guests. So, but I was looking at all the music you've worked on and you've written some of the like most K-love catchy Christian music out there, like played all across the board, like Love Never Fails, Everything and Nothing Less. How does that, like, do you think back on that? And like, have you been able to process being like that guy now that you're writing music that everyone is singing? And but when I say K-Love, I'm not trying to be, I'm just saying they play it on K-Love all the time. I wasn't trying to, it's not an insult. I'm just saying they're playing it a ton on K-Love.
No, which is great. They can.
They still pay.
Better. Yeah, it's amazing. gosh, man, when I started leading worship, there wasn't like celebrity worship leaders, so I didn't get into it.
When was that? Early 2000s.
Oh gosh, so I would have been 14 when I started leading, and I'm about to be 40. So
okay, quick maths.
Yeah.
So like in the 90s.
Yeah, in the 90s for sure. Yeah.
There was Michael W. Smith. He was crushing the game.
Oh,
Carmen.
I mean, there were Christian celebrities, but worship wasn't it. Like worship was something you did at church. Like
right.
It didn't cross over into radio play. Mm-hmm. And I was at a home group. I was 14 at a home group and someone said, does anybody here know how to lead worship? And I thought, how hard can it be? So,
and that's when he knew he made a grave mistake, or misjudgment.
I raised my hand. I was like, I do. I know how to lead worship.
As a 14-year-old.
So,
gosh, to be that confident.
I don't know if it was confidence. I just, yeah. So I started leading worship. And
because your dad was a youth pastor growing up,
Southern Baptist.
So did you have any kind of like exposure to that world?
Oh yeah.
I mean, like what did worship music look like?
I grew up singing hymns for the most part when I was young. And then when junior high, high school hit is when we all kind of made the transition to, you know, I remember singing. Do you remember the Chris Rice song about cartoons getting saved?
But that sounds right up the 90s Christian alley.
I don't know how good you are at editing, but if you could get the rights and then just put a clip of it right now. All right, now that you've listened to it.
Man, that was hilarious to listen to.
So it's a whole song about how... well, he's just saying, I was thinking the other day, what if cartoons got saved? And then the rest of the song is him singing lines of worship that a cartoon might say, like, instead of hallelujah, yabba dabba do ya.
This is, and to think, well, we haven't reached all nations yet.
But when I started leading worship, that was definitely song one in the set.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So you had already, you'd already learned guitar by then, or were you teaching yourself guitar?
No, I bought a guitar. Just for that.
In order to lead that.
Oh, yeah. Wow. So I grew up, I took piano lessons as a kid. And then, they can't see it, but you can tell I'm not the best looking guy in the world. So
well,
I needed
vice
a,
versa.
I
same.
Needed a gimmick. I was going to say it, but you said it.
Let's move on.
I needed a gimmick. So you can't fit a piano in your trunk. So
right. And chicks dig guitar.
Oh, they love it.
And it's infallible. Once you start playing guitar, chicks just show up in droves.
Yeah, they just show up. So, yeah, I think it's probably equal parts for the Lord and for the girls.
Yeah, I think he's probably okay with that.
Well, yeah. I mean,
it's about as righteous as you can hope to be.
He works all things together for my good.
That's right, and he has.
And it worked. I got married.
And you've got quite the family, right? You have all girls. You have
all
three
girls.
Girls.
Manson, you did your research.
I'm trying. I took their rebuke to heart. No, they'll find something to hate on me. They automatically is the explicit lyric, and they assume that I'm getting rich off of this.
Oh.
And I don't know how much to emphasize how no money I'm making on this podcast.
I'm going to send you $5. Now you'll not be able to say you paid $0. So this is my commitment to your listeners. He's paid $5.
Dang it. You've really screwed up my whole shtick now. Now I'm not so humble, but I will take that $5
yeah.
Real talk.
Oh, heck yeah.
Get a double cheese. Okay. So you just started leading worship as a choice, taught yourself guitar as a choice. There wasn't like guitartabs.com back then. What were you doing to teach yourself?
Buy an actual book that had chords in it. I remember having a book that had the same thing you find online these days, but it was actually written out on pages. And I would learn how to play the chords and then, yeah.
And you have, yeah, that is mind blowing that you can create, like you can start like that purely of your own initiative and turn it into your entire life's work.
Yeah. It's crazy.
That's wild to think about. Like so many people start things like that and it just doesn't stick, or they suck, or they like get distracted with other things. Yet somehow you were able to, in the 90s where there's no distribution, there's no social media to start, and there's no like, I mean, you have to go buy, you got to go to whatever music store to buy a book of chords, and that's turned into now you staying like you being at the height of Christian music. That's pretty impressive.
Oh man, I mean, the journey was crazy. Like immediately after that, like probably 3 years into leading worship, I kind of thought, I think I want to do Christian music. And I got serious about it and started talking to a record label. And I mean, it was getting serious. And I just felt...
Because you were in Nash at the time?
Yeah, I grew up in Nashville. And I was in a meeting at a record label. And we were talking about a deal. And I just felt this rush of like, I don't think I want to do this. Like, it just doesn't feel real. So on the way home from that meeting, I got a phone call from a buddy whose band had just broken up. And he said, hey, my band just broke up. We have a gig tomorrow night. Could you play at it? And I was like, yeah, I can play with you. And you know how in between, like when you go to a concert and the in-between, they do like a pitch for Feed the Children or...
Yeah, Compassion.
Well, that night they did a pitch for the building, the ministry that was at the building we were using. So some guy got up, and it was just an inner city ministry in Nashville. He got up and he talked about the lease of these, and Matthew 25, where it says, whatever you've done to the lease of these, you've done to me. I was hungry, you gave me food. I was thirsty. You gave me something to drink. I was naked. You gave me clothes. I was sick. And in the hospital, you visited me. And he just spoke scripture, basically. And then invited people to...
A novel concept.
Yeah. And then invited people to serve at the ministry there. And as soon as he got done talking, my heart was like, that's what I want to do. I want to help the poor. So I would tell you I sold everything I owned and moved down there, but I didn't own anything. But I did move down there. And for 3 years, just gave out food and clothing.
Where did you move?
To downtown Nashville.
Oh, to downtown Nashville.
To the projects. And just gave out food and clothing and laid down.
You were single at the time?
Yeah, I was single. And completely quit music and just played. I played for the kids in the neighborhood, and that was it. And we would do worship nights for our little crew there, and I'd lead for those. But and I met my wife down there. She wasn't one of the homeless people. She was coming to serve.
But she could have been.
But there's nothing wrong with that. Yeah. You guys be you. Who's ever listening to this?
The six people that listen to this, yeah. You guys be you. You girls, guys and girls, be you. So you're completely 3 years, no music, no organized music.
Yeah.
You straight up. And did you find that was a sacrifice for you? Or you're like, I'm just going to do this?
No.
Did you have to consciously say, I'm laying all this down to pursue something higher than myself?
Yeah. It felt like this is the real gospel. I grew up in church. I love the Lord, and I always have. It's kind of a boring testimony, but this was the first time where in my life, this makes sense. Like, here I am, I'm singing songs where I say, I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. And then how does that anchor to the reality of the world we live in? And as a worship leader, here I was telling people, let's sing this song where we say, I love you. And then for the first time in my life, that met the reality of helping the poor. So for me, it was like a lateral move where it was like, hey, I've been trying to get people to love on Jesus for, the last 5 years. And now I'm actually trying to get people to show the love of Jesus to Jesus through action.
Yeah. So that was probably a life-changing experience for you then.
Yeah, it was. And again, I met my wife down there, and we were going to be missionaries to Brazil. We thought that'd be the best thing ever. And then I got we had decided we would just figure out how to be married first.
Takes a little effort.
Yeah, before jumping into the mission field. So we were going to take 6 months in Nashville.
That was wise.
And about a month into it, a church in town asked if I could lead worship on a Sunday. And I was like, well, let me ask my wife, but, probably.
Smart move.
Oh, yeah. So I led worship at this church, but we were so poor, I'd sold my guitar. Except for the guy that bought my guitar wrote a bad check. So he stole my guitar, basically.
So he wrote a bad check to buy a guitar for you, and it bounced. Me. Oh, from you?
Yeah.
Oh, and then you sent him your guitar, gave him your guitar, and then the check bounced. Yep. Oh.
It was dumb.
That's real dumb.
Yeah, it was super dumb. And I show up at this church with my dumb guitar, because I had a nice guitar and then I had the dumb guitar. So I show up with the dumb guitar, and you know how pastors are always ragging on you? Well, as a worship leader, I'm very keenly aware of how pastors love to just poke at you. So as soon as I get there, the pastor's like, man, what's up with your ugly guitar? So I was like, man, it's
non-taken.
It's funny you should bring that up, because someone just stole my one good guitar. And he was like, that's not right. So after worship, he straight up pulled my guitar case out to the front of the stage and opened it up and was like, hey, the enemy stole from this guy. let's buy him a new guitar. And people took up an offering. So they just came forward and stuck money in my guitar case. And they gave us $5,700. Yeah.
I hope you didn't just go buy a Martin with all that.
Right. Well, that was one of the first fights I ever had with my wife.
What's like, what do we do with this money? Like, what's an appropriate amount? Like, do we buy a guitar at all?
Oh, Worship Leaders and Guitars is the next Instagram handle.
Yeah. People always bring that up. Like, when are you going to show the guitars and the Nords and the amps? I'm like, dude, I'm not doing that ever. I don't think. Because you could get, I mean, you get what you pay for with guitars.
Oh, for sure.
So what did you end up getting with that money?
About a Larrabee.
And okay, then, that's a nice freaking guitar.
Yeah, it was great. I paid like $1,100 for it, I think.
Okay.
And then...
you still have it?
No, I gave it away to a guy in Romania.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I went to Romania and the guy was playing an Ovation. The local worship leader, and I was
the
like,
curved back.
Yeah, the
plastic. You can't back. Play it on your thigh or whatever.
Yeah, so I was like, man, if you'll throw away that guitar, I'll give you this one.
Stop playing this manufactured POS.
Yeah.
Wow, that's a super generous thing to do. But at that time, you had 42 guitars.
No, that's I only had count. Two. I had that guitar and one other guitar.
Oh my gosh. Well, that's super generous. What else? What do you play right now?
I've got a bunch.
The Grammys will do that to you.
I've got my main ones, 60s J45, a Gibson.
Classic.
It's a great sounding guitar and I love it. But even it's not that expensive. In the realm of guitars, I think I paid $2,200 for it. But I mean, you really do get what you pay for.
And that's like a guitar for life.
Oh,
at
yeah.
this point,
it's already yeah. lived the life. This is a guitar for its second life because it's 60 years old.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah,
but it's probably super rich sounding.
Oh yeah,
guitars from that. Yeah. So fast forwarding from the Brazil inner city.
So
work.
I know what I was going to say.
Yeah, go ahead.
They said, so when they gave me that offering and then they said, hey, can you lead worship next week? I was like, oh, heck yes. Absolutely.
This is what every Sunday's going to be like.
Yeah. So that began 10 years of, we were at that church. I was the worship pastor there for 10 years. And
10 years?
Yeah. And just really felt like the Lord kind of set me up for this. Like, because our heart was to go overseas. And the Lord just had a different plan. So I ended up at a church in Franklin, Tennessee. And stayed there for 10 years. And about halfway through that, or maybe about 3-4 years into that, I felt like God said, I want you to make a CD. But you know how God sounds like you talking to yourself in your own head?
Yep.
So I was like,
kind of have to validate it.
I was like, God, is this you or is this me talking to myself? Right. Me? Is this me? So I said, God, if you'll provide the money, then I'll do it. And this is a true story. It sounds fake, but a guy emailed me. I've never met him and still haven't met him. And he said, God told me to give you money. What do you need money for? And I was like, well.
Sounds fake.
I know. He's from Nigeria. They.
Yeah, his dad was a king or something. Yeah, and he was asking for my info.
I just had to. It was easy. I just had to send him a couple of grand for. No, this guy said God told me to give you money, and I wrote him back and was like, well, I need guitar strings, and we need drum heads, and at the end of that email, I said, or if you give me $15,000, I'll make a record, and I pulled the number out of nowhere, like just, I made it up. I don't know how much it costs to make a record.
Yeah.
I just said, if you give me 15 grand, I'll do it. And homeboy mailed a check for 15 grand.
What?
So that's how I got into the music business. I was like, oh,
that is bananas.
I know, it's crazy.
And the check didn't bounce.
No, it didn't bounce.
At this point, you should have not been trusting random checks being sent to you. Wow. And so that did that cover pretty much all the studio time and everything for doing the record?
Well, no. So we ran out of money.
It was a good start.
Quick. Yeah, it was great. Oh. So we tracked everything, but then we ran out. But then I came up with this brilliant plan that I need another 15 grand to finish. But instead of borrowing $15,000 from one person, because then if I can't pay him back, he'll be $15,000 mad at me.
Mm-hmm.
That I would borrow $3,000 from five people. So I went to, my plan was to go to like five of my richest friends and just tell them what I wanted to do.
Hey, you're rich. Yeah. Let me talk to you.
I couldn't help but notice from your shoes that you're. No, so the first guy I met with, he was being super fatherly and was cool. And he's like, hey, as a businessman, I found that if you think you need $3,000, you probably actually need like five. And I was like, well, I think I need $15,000. And at the table at O. Charlie's, because I was paying, at the table.
Quality establishment.
He wrote me a check for $20,000.
What is happening?
And that's how I finished the record.
Who are these people?
I know they need to be in your life.
These are the same people gifting the sneakers, I think. This shadow society of unlimited money. That is insane.
Yeah, it's amazing. You know, it feels so safe, though, because I didn't want to get... Well, I did at first want to be in the music business. Then I laid it down, and I felt like God pushed me into it. And there's something that feels so safe about God kind of pushing you into something as opposed to you making a bunch of Ishmaels. Like you think about Abraham and God's put a promise on his life. And then when he tries to make it happen, it's bad. And there's something beautiful about just waiting on that promise. And so I'm super grateful for it.
Yeah, that's super good. Like not being in a place where you're stressing out about thinking that you can, like that you have to do all of the work to get what you think you need. Like I'm sure there's a lot of people in the music industry that are just like itching to make it up the next rung of the ladder. But you're in a place where you're like, I don't have to do this, but if you want me to do it, then... you're going to have to make it happen pretty much.
Yeah. I like to try and live my life like that. I'm probably not perfect at it. There's times where it's like, oh, I wish this was more successful or what can I do? I mean, and there's a difference between being like completely lackadaisical and I don't care and actually taking little steps towards what you do.
Right. Right. But having, trusting at the time, at the same time, instead of being like, I've got to do this myself.
Right.
That's crazy. So sorry, I'm looking, you're frozen. You're, uh-oh. Can you see me?
I can see you. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. I just, your face is frozen.
It'll what about now?
Back. Nope. Looks the same.
I'm dancing like some sick moves. You have no idea.
There's a strobe light, apparently. No, I can't see anything.
Hey, yo, what up? This episode of the Preachers and Seekers podcast is brought to you by Rejuvenator Shoe Care. If you're like me and only have a few pairs of kicks, you got to be keeping those fresh at all times. My favorite pair of sneaks are my triple wide Ultra Boost, and they're an absolute dirt magnet. But Rejuvenator provides everything I could possibly need to keep those kicks mega clean and at a reasonable price. All my listeners can get 10% off their whole order by using the code PREACHERS at checkout. So check them out at rejuvenator.com and be sure to use the code PREACHERS for 10% off.
So your heart clearly is in a place where you're trying to live out your faith and help the least of these. I saw on your Instagram that you're either started or you're involved with Shower Up Nashville and the Laundry Stop. Tell me about that a little bit, and then I want to ask you about sneakers and such.
So my wife, she owns a cleaning business. So we wanted to put our kids in a private school, which cost a bunch of money. But we had some friends. You know how it is. Like, I want my kids to go to that school with their friends. So, but I couldn't afford it. And my wife was like, well, what if I start cleaning houses every week? So she started cleaning two houses a week, and we just struggled through it and made it work.
Yeah. But, bless her.
So she was like, well, this is super helpful for me. What if I just hire some other people and get more work? Now she has like 40 something employees. They clean hundreds of houses every week.
What?
Yeah.
So she's got like a full scaled out business.
Yeah. And it's just been the Lord's blessing on her life. And in the midst of all that, they do a crap ton of laundry. Can I say crap ton?
Oh yeah, you can say whatever you want, man.
Sweet.
It's 2019.
So they do a bunch of laundry, and obviously, like I told you, we both have a heart for the poor.
Mm-hmm.
She, at some point, kind of decided it would be great if her business found a way to give back to the community in a tangible way. And since she knows laundry, because they do a lot of it, she was like, what if I built a truck that could service the homeless community by cleaning their laundry? So she found an organization that gives out showers. And they'd always tried to tackle the laundry game because it's a unique problem that's not easy to fix.
Right.
Because dryers take a lot of energy to work, and where do you get the water from, and do you dump your dirty water? So she's figuring out all this, and we built a trailer, and we take it out on Sundays after church, and we do laundry for homeless people.
Wow.
And it's become a really cool part of my routine, where like I sing on stage. Our church is pretty big. So I sing on stage and get to partake in all the fun part of being in front of people and showing my gift to the world. But then immediately after that, I get to move from just talking about loving on Jesus and how much I love Jesus to actually showing love. And it's become... I don't know how else to say it. It's a great part of, it feels healthy.
That's got to feel super fulfilling to say like, hey, I don't do everything right or much right, but at least I'm trying to be obedient, or at least put action behind the things that I'm trying to get other people to live out. Because that's tough, right? Like it's, all of us want to be so comfy most of the time. It's very easy to go to church and consume, or if you don't go to church, to just like be an activist or to say like, hey, let's build awareness for this thing. But at a certain point, putting action to words takes a different level of character. And I bet that feels really fulfilling. I mean, I'm not going to do it, but that's great for you. No, that is like, if you try to put yourself in their shoes, like, you're already in such a terrible state of life, or maybe like a very low state of life, to say like, hey, I don't have a home. I'm wearing dirty clothes. I'm dirty and I don't get to shower. And that they're providing just the basics for being like a member of society. Like that probably gives them a ton of at least like energy or perseverance to like keep going. Cause at a certain point you feel less human. If you're like, I was in the Marines for, in a past life, and we would go weeks without showering for different type of training deals. And there's a certain point.
I do that and I'm not even in the Marines.
It's there's a certain point where you're like, I feel less than human right now because I am so filthy and I'm just resolved to my filth. And what a like simple yet awesome thing to do for people. I mean, did you figure, like, have y'all figured out all the logistics behind it? Like, what do you do with the gray water? What do you do with the power? Like,
yeah, I mean, we figured it all out.
That's amazing.
I mean, right now at this point, we want to build another one because we've learned all of our mistakes. So
yeah,
want to build a second one.
So is the goal to scale it out throughout Nashville, or
I don't know if we've really thought about it. It's kind of just being obedient to right now, and I don't know.
Gosh,
it's not. It,
what a
it's
healthy
never
perspective.
Been a dream of mine. It's never been a dream of mine to have like a clothing ministry for the homeless. It feels fulfilling, but I don't want to put some extra pressure on it.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's probably healthy, but like, what a good thing to do even at like the smallest scale. Like what an awesome thing to do. Is there, before we move on, is there a way like people can connect with that or find that? Do y'all have like any kind of social media or any kind of fundraising?
Well, we started a Instagram page, but it doesn't post a lot.
Okay.
I think it's called The Laundry Stop, and it might have underscores like in the name. I forget.
Okay. I'll look it up and I'll blast it out there for the people. I've got some reach these days. I don't know if you heard.
Yeah, you do.
Okay. So I was going to ask, the growing up with a youth pastor as a father, I know this was many years ago. Did you ever experience people criticizing your dad or you for how y'all spent your money or how you were living your life at all?
No, because youth pastors don't make any money.
That's true. So, but he was like a full-time youth pastor. Like that was his career.
Yeah, that was it. Then he became a school teacher. They got burnt out on church work and moved home. Nashville was home for them. So.
Okay. So he wanted to make some real money. So he became a teacher. Okay. Well then, because that's come up a ton with this whole, like trying to get the perspective of
right,
pastors. Well, that's great that nobody was like, hey, why are you wearing those LA Gear light up sneaks? So the bigger question I wanted to ask for you, because you're in it every day, is like this whole preachers and sneakers thing has caused a lot of people to ask about building wealth in the realm of Christianity or quote unquote on the back of the gospel. And so for you, literally living out, like people singing your songs all over the world, I guess I wanted to get your perspective on what do you think about that, and how do you keep the right perspective? Which, because I imagine you're making good money off of touring, off of selling music, even though Spotify is kind of crushing that for you. And like all the licensing things, all that merch and everything.
Right, yeah.
So I just want to get your perspective on that, because that's at least come up in my own mind. It's like, is there ever a place where it's okay to get rich off of living, preaching, playing for God?
Gosh. It's definitely something I've had put a lot of thought into and had a lot of personal struggle with making money off of doing worship. In the early days, well, really for the first 15 years of doing this, like if someone invited me to their church, I wouldn't even ask for it. Just pay whatever you want to pay.
Right.
And I'd lose a lot of money doing that. And I'd make some money sometimes, but it's definitely an issue that I've thought about.
Mm-hmm.
At least put a lot of thought into. I don't know the right answer though.
Yeah.
I've definitely made good money off of music. I don't think I've gotten rich. Like I've made a living is what I would say.
Yeah.
But I don't think I've definitely not gotten rich off of it.
Right.
The weird part is that the biggest part of my income probably comes from directly from people singing my songs at churches via CCLI. So, you know, when people at churches have to fill in what songs they sing, you know, every quarter or whatever.
Right.
They, that organization that they pay then divvies out the money to the songwriters. So.
Interesting.
I've definitely made good money off of people singing songs that I wrote at church. And is it weird? Probably. Is it bad? I don't know.
Yeah.
It's made it so that I can focus on writing songs and pastoring at my church as opposed to
grinding it out during the week at another job.
Yeah. So I think it's opened doors. I don't know. It's hard, man. Because I don't feel like I'm taking advantage of anybody.
Right. Well, I mean, you're providing value to a ton of people in one way or the other.
Well, hopefully. I mean, that's the goal.
Yeah.
Is to write songs. I mean, honestly, that's not even the goal. The goal for me was to write songs for my church.
Yeah.
Like, can we sing songs at my church?
Because you recorded live stuff, and then somebody at, like, Jesus Culture got a hold of it, right? And that's kind of where things started to blow up.
Yeah, so, like, for me, our sound guy at my church would put the audio from the worship onto MySpace. That shows you how long ago it was. And these are my buddies. The Jesus Culture guys were just my friends.
Yeah.
And also my MySpace friends.
Yeah, the better.
I don't know if they were top eight. They probably weren't my top eight, but
that's the pinnacle of friendship, though. Top eight MySpace friends.
It sure was, but they heard the songs and recorded a couple of them. So they recorded "Your Love Never Fails" and took it everywhere. Hmm. And that, but I didn't write that song to make money.
Right.
And
yeah.
I wrote it because we needed a song that said that he makes all things work together for the good of those that love him. And so, like, for me, we were going through stuff, and so I wrote a song that spoke into that.
Yeah.
And it just kind of did its own thing. So I kind of think of it more like the Lord's blessing to continue opening up doors.
Yeah. Yeah, and I have no idea what your financial situation is, so I'm not necessarily...
Mega rich.
Mega so rich, yeah. So I wasn't trying to imply that you have gotten rich off this. I assumed you were making good money because we're talking at 10 a.m. on a Thursday and you're not at a job. But it has caused, like, never...
What does that say about you and Preachers and Sneakers?
I'll leave that open for interpretation. I've been getting rich off the backs of calling out pastors for being rich. So I'm living my best life right now.
Could you imagine?
I can't. But people are quick to accuse me of doing that, and I'm really not. But
just a little bit.
Just a little bit. I mean, enough to, you know, fly first class now to all my speaking engagements.
Yeah.
But it has, like, I've never considered, like, I grew up in, like, Southern Christian culture, following, like, you know, crushing all my secular CDs and worshiping all these, you know, Christian
too.
Celebrities. But I'd never considered, like, hey, these people are making real money and some, like, assumingly are getting loaded off of, Christian type themes, and just with this whole account has made me consider for myself, like, what are we supposed to do with that? Because, like, at a certain point, the majority of people don't think it's okay to be, like, buying mansions and Lambos off of your Christian earnings. But then also people, I think the average person doesn't want a really great songwriter or a really effective communicator to be poor or to, like, purposely live in filth because that's what Jesus would do, quote unquote.
WWJD.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't I don't know what that is or why it causes. I mean, clearly that's what's caused the account to blow up a ton, because people have lost their collective minds about like trying to consider what is appropriate for a leader of the Christian faith to wear and to how to live and stuff. And so I guess it also brings up the same question about, for me, about like worship leaders and stuff. It's like, okay, these, I mean, you're included, guys and girls are literally leading people in worship of the creator of the universe and are making money off of it. Are we just okay? Like if someone made $100 million off of that over the course of their career, is everyone just okay with that? Or is there a level where it's like, is God just okay with us profiting off the gospel, or are we to like approach it in a different way? I don't know. So like the same type of thing. People accuse me of, like, when I sold my merch, of like profiting off of doing the same thing that I'm calling the pastors, or I'm not necessarily calling them out, but like people think I'm calling them out for getting rich off the gospel. And it's just caused me to think, like, what is that? Or what are we to do with that? Cause I assume Michael W. Smith, I assume the Hillsong crew have been making a ton of money. And maybe it's just fine. And like, if it's fine, I support them. Like I am for people trying to use their gifts to make money and to make a lot of money, as long as they're using their money for good and aren't like flossing on everybody, but or flexing on everybody. But I mean, have you had
flossing
any
on everyone?
Flexing on everybody. Like, have you had any conversations with any of you? Yeah. For those that can't see, Chris McClarney literally just flossed on camera. One of the more shameful things that has happened in 2019. Congrats on being able to do that, though. I guess being a dad of three daughters, you've had to learn how to do that. So have you had any conversations with your counterparts about that? Like, hey.
Oh, yeah, we've had tons. For as long as I've been making music, I've been having the same conversation about what's appropriate. Like, because on one hand, when I go play a gig somewhere, I have to leave my family.
Right.
And I can't do a job where I could make money.
Right.
So,
because it's your responsibility to take care of your family.
Right. And I want to give them the best possible life.
Yeah.
If you're a musician and you're a Christian, and if we all agree, I'm not saying we do, but say we all agreed that they shouldn't make that much money, well, then is that pushing our best musicians into not doing church?
Right.
I mean, I don't know.
Yeah. But you would think that you would... you would want excellence when you're worshiping to you, the creator of the universe. Like, why wouldn't we want excellence in everything?
Right. And you look at people like we talked about Daigle earlier.
Yeah.
And this is someone that's crossed over into the mainstream market. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, I think it's kind of awesome. She's probably making a ton of money. I think it's great. And she's sharing the gospel. Like, what? Isn't that the dream?
Yeah. Yeah.
And she's giving back a bunch. So
yeah.
For me, I think where I've settled on it is it's not about making money. Like, that's not the problem. It's what do you do with your money after you've made it? How do you live your life and that's why for us, like, it has to go back to orphans and widows and to the least of these.
Yeah.
You know, scripture talks about pure and undefiled religion is to care for orphans and widows. So, like, if the Lord's blessing my music, then may my story always be that here's a guy that's all tried to always give back more than what he got. Like, so, yeah, I'm not getting rich right now, but I would love to. I think that'd be amazing. Yeah.
Same. Yeah, that's a really great word. Like, And I think the average, the majority of people would agree with that. Like, what you do with your money is what matters. And if you, I guess the sensitive thing or the touchier thing happens when you start like wearing and living in a way that looks a lot like the rest of the world is living and wearing, like specifically with like the designer crap and like it. I don't know. What do you think about that aspect as far as like wearing and buying things that are kind of just seen as ostentatious or kind of seen as like luxury type items, even if it's not right. Fair. What do you think about that?
Gosh, I don't know. I mean, when I first started following you, I didn't feel the same way a lot of your comments were, where they were like, you know, so mad at the pastors.
Right.
I felt more of a, can you believe these idiots think it's cool to wear that?
Yeah.
Like, because in my mind, it's funny. It's definitively funny.
Yes.
That they would wear some of the stuff they wear. Like, there's one where I forget his name, completely decked out, head to toe. He's got tags on everything. Uh-huh. It's crazy, man. Like, that just looks dumb. And I realize I'm not super stylish, but to me, that's where the humor in the whole thing was. Here's a guy that's saying, these people are trying to be cool, and is it cool?
We may never know.
So, I like, that's why I started following you. I enjoyed that aspect of it. I don't know. It's hard because I think there is, like, people have a style. They have things that they're into. Like me, I like guitars. So
yeah.
Luckily, I'm able to get guitars for cheap because of the job that I have.
But, yeah.
You know,
are you endorsed by anybody?
Well, like, I've gotten free guitars, lots of free guitars. I don't play anybody's, like, only them because I'm real. I just like to play whatever I feel like playing that day.
Yeah. That's cool. I mean, will you send me a guitar for free?
Well, sure. Yeah.
Like a one that I could potentially resell for $5,700 or so. That's what I think is been interesting about this whole thing. It's like no one really has the answer. And I think that's what pisses a lot of people off is that it's easy for people on social media to be judgy. Like you could see it in the comments. There's a lot of judgy ass Christians that come into the comments.
Hey, we got the E again.
Check the E-box. Yes. My bad. You got me fired up thinking about this now. I think people get mad that there's like not a definitive answer. And they also get mad that I don't put a flag in the sand one way or the other. But it's like I'm talking to a Grammy nominated artist that's making money off of worship music. And he doesn't know if he's okay with like making $50 million off of Christian music. And it's like,
I would love to make $50 million off Christian music. I would like to say that out loud.
Yeah. And I would like to affirm that. I would like to make $50 million selling
Preachers and Sneakers merch.
I don't know if we'll ever get there, but
here's one of the questions that I've actually thought about. So my wife, like I said, she has a business. It's successful now. In the world where the judgmental Christians are at, could I use her money to buy really nice shoes? And would that be okay? Like, as long as I promise to never use the money I made off of church.
Right. It's
I mean,
like,
it gets weird.
It gets weird. And I think the bottom line is that everyone needs to be in a community of people that know you really well that can say, hey, you're being stupid with your money. Cause it's like, it's really easy to be like, hey, preachers wearing $1,000 kicks is real stupid, but ultimately we're not going to really affect their behavior long-term. I think it's up to everyone to one, consider how they spend their money. I think it is worth considering the optics of the things that you're wearing and how you're living your life. Cause what you do wear and how you do live does convey some type of message, regardless. Like, people bring up the BMW versus Suburban thing. Like, they cost the same, but they communicate a completely different message. Like, that's probably not fair, but it's the reality. Like, people on the outside see you driving a Beamer or think something completely different than if you're driving a Suburban.
What if you're driving a Yukon?
No, that's, then you're just being a poser.
What if it's a Denali?
See, there again, it's like, and I feel like, have you looked at my driveway recently? Why are you attacking me right now?
You drive that Yukon Denali.
Flexing on everybody. Like a rich person from 2010.
Yeah.
And it's just like, everyone should have people around them that are willing to speak in to how they're spending their money. Like, if we ever get to the point where we're making our money and we're siloed to the point where it's like, hey, this is my money, I'm going to spend it how I want, that's probably not the right place to be, regardless of how you're making your money. And as long as, like, you're not taking advantage of people, I think. So all that to say is no one agrees on anything and what is true anymore. Like, it would be really helpful if people bring the camel through the eye of the needle verse all the time, but also, like, they use that verse in a vacuum. And it's not like God didn't speak specific. I don't think he spoke specifically on, like, money you should spend on clothing or vacations or Nord keyboards. Like, it seems very gray, but I think the point is that we should always shoot for wisdom and try not to flex on people.
Yeah.
And that's my uninformed Instagram opinion. Like, people think I am some, like, expert on any of this, and I'm just the most average white dude with minimal biblical education, like, trying to, like, lead my own household and make wise decisions myself. Like, I have really no authority on any of this.
I mean, I feel like you have some sort of authority now. You started the conversation. Everyone's looking to you for answers.
Yeah. No pressure. Well, I hope that you can write a song about it one day.
What do you think? Like, you've talked to so many people about it.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, what's the consensus from all of them on?
I think the majority thinks that, or like the majority that are on the pastor side think that it's inappropriate to put these guys and girls in a place where they can be put on blast, even though my intention is to not for them to be put on blast. But, I think it's worth considering how you curate yourself on social media. So, like, on my personal Instagram, I've felt super convicted about really posting anything because, so much of what we do on social media, whether we say it or not, is intended to make other people envy our lives, like what we're doing, where we're at, what we're eating.
Yeah.
And that's inherently causing people to sin. And so I've really struggled with finding a purpose in posting much on my personal social media. So I think a good takeaway is to at least consider why you're posting things on social media. Cause you're really, if you're on a vacation, you're like, check out the sweet vacation I'm on. Somebody out there is going to be like, damn, I wish I could be on a vacation. I wish I had their vacation. So that's been a good learning point for me. I mean, I think it is dumb, I think, to not, at least not consider the things you're wearing on social media when you have a reach of 500,000 to 1 million to 2 million followers.
Yeah.
And the impacts, and like, and at least the thing that's been disappointing is a lot of these guys and girls haven't really vocalized their empathy for why people are fired up about it. Like, I wish they would say, I at least understand why people get upset. Like, these were a gift. I didn't pay anything for them. I didn't take this out of the offering plate, but I at least understand why people are upset and why they can't relate to this. But there again, it's like, that's about as like definitive as I can get, because like we just talked about, it's a very gray area and it's so situational and it's so heart dependent. And I don't know any of these guys and girls' hearts, but I think it's still valuable to bring up the conversation, because I don't, this is somewhat of a newer age issue, or like with social media, it's a newer type issue and not many people were really quantifying it. And So I'm happy to keep the conversation going. I don't necessarily want to be the talking head about it, but it's for some reason God has given me a gift to be able to write pithy quips on Instagram and pick out sneakers with high profile preachers. So I'm just trying to do the best that I can with it, and trying to, in the same way, raise money for people that are doing, like, I'm trying to use the, at a minimum, use the platform to raise money and awareness for people that are taking care of the least of these.
That's cool.
But I also recognize that I've done it imperfectly and people have probably been hurt or harassed by it. And so I'm trying to move forward with that and make a way to make this a positive thing for everybody. But yeah, it's been messy and I've repented for some of my heart behind some of the posts that I did. I've taken down a lot of posts just because it wasn't the right heart behind it. But now I think I'm in a good place. So
like when you, you took down Max.
Did
Rock
I?
Rock.
The one where he's
did
wearing
you
those.
Take it down?
I took down the videos where I was kind of ragging on him for wearing those. Like right when I started the account, you sent me that picture where I had like 26 followers and it did have the videos where I was like, oh, look at this guy wearing $800 Yeezys. And come to find out, Mac is like the most humble, genuine dude ever. And we're homies now. And he's got a great voice too. And has written a lot of great songs. And I'm really impressed with him. All right. We're up on time pretty much. If people want to rebuke you online, where can they find you?
Yeah. They can rebuke me at Preachers and Sneakers.
No. I've got enough time doing that myself.
It's at C. McClarney on Instagram.
With two C's, right?
Yeah. CCHRIS.
No. At C. McClarney, right?
McClarney.
Sweet mercy. All right. Well, I'll make sure to link to your account in the show notes as well. Chris, I appreciate you taking the time. I think you're an incredible voice. I think you're super funny and really appreciate your heart behind things.
Oh, so nice.
Once you get rich off of worship music, be sure to send me that guitar and the $5 you already promised.
Oh, and I'm sending you $5 right now.
And to write a song.
And now from now on, you have to say, I've made $5 off of this.
And now I'm going to have to report it to the IRS, too, because it's in the public domain. Gosh, dang it. Thanks for making the time. We'd love to talk again. And once I'm in Nash, I'll come. We'll go get some hot chicken or something.
Yes, let's do it.
All right, buddy. Thanks for the time.
All right.
Talk to you later. Peace.